Okay, here we go. Now, I should be able to get through this one reasonably quickly because a lot of what I say in this I've already said. Okay? Counseling. Do you know how to lead someone to Christ? Do you know how to lead someone to Christ? Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 39 is Philip leading the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 32 is Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi and leading the Philippian jailer to Christ. They knew how to lead someone to Christ. I have turned it on. Yep, thanks, bro. By the way, this is another advertisement for Israel. This is a wonderful play on words. This here is the reading from left to right. This is the Hebrew word for mountain, which is the word Anan. Anan. Kofi Annan. Can you remember the Secretary of the United Nations quite a few years ago was a fellow by the name of Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan. So it's a very clever play on words, and they make really nice coffee. And then this is all the how far it is to all the different places from Mount Bentel, where it is north of the Sea of Galilee. Okay. Now, do you know how to lead a child or a teen or an adult in the be able to make the appropriate adjustment to the way the language that you use? And you've already been hearing all sorts of things about adjusting to people and where they're at, so you know all that. Okay, number one, we must not take things for granted. We must not take things for granted. Don't assume that the person that you are endeavouring to lead to Christ understands God, Jesus, anything as you do. It is so easy. Remember I told you about the little girl saying, "What's a saviour?" Okay? The problem with the Romans Road, and we've already talked about this, okay, the problem with the Romans Road is that it assumes that they understand already who Jesus Christ is. Who is the word for the blank, okay? And that's the problem with the Romans Road. Note Paul's different approaches in Acts chapter 17, verse 1 to 3, and verse 22 and following. And how many times have I talked about this? Six times, is it now? That in Thessalonica, in the synagogue, because they were Jews and they believed in the true and living God, he went straight to the scriptures and said Jesus Christ is the Messiah and proved it from the scriptures. But when he went to Mars Hill, where they were pagans, he started off by saying, "I notice that you guys are very religious. You've even got a statue unto the unknown God. I'm going to teach you about the unknown God," and went back to creation. So you need to use an appropriate approach. And most people living in Australia today are pagans. Okay? Most Aussies are pagans. And the key is to establish who Jesus is and the rest. And if they don't believe in Christ of the Bible, they are believing in a false Christ, the Christ of their understanding. Okay? So, number two, ideally, we should counsel individually. Acts 8:26 is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch one-on-one, but sometimes it's not practical. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Peter is preaching to a group of at least 3,000 people because 3,000 people trusted Christ on that occasion. So sometimes you have to lead, and I've had a situation where I was doing a children's holiday kids club and they were hardly had any leaders, and none of the leaders who were there were capable of counselling someone for salvation. And I gave a challenge, and there were about 8 or 10 of the children who wanted to learn more and wanted to be saved. And so I had to get a circle of chairs and sit them all around and take the time to try and individualise and work with them, but I had to deal with them as a group. It was very difficult and quite a challenge, and I trust that each of them did genuinely get saved because I had to then leave the next day, but I made sure that the pastor and the people there got their names and endeavoured to follow up and so on and so forth. Three, here is a basic plan of salvation. What is for anyone? Someone of any age, what does yours say?
For someone of any age,
okay. The key to salvation is faith/believe. All right, the key to salvation is faith. And do you know the song, Faith is Just Believing, what God said he will do? Maybe not. It's not that. Some of you do have it, okay. But faith is believing, because it's faith and believe are the same word. Can you tell me what the verb form of faith is?
Believe.
Believe. Can you tell me what the noun form of believe is? Faith. Okay, in English, they don't look anything alike. It's really, really confusing. English is such a stupid language, okay? But anyway, how it become one of the most popular languages in the world is beyond belief. But anyway, the Lord knows and all that sort of thing. But in Greek, the word faith and the word believe, you can clearly see they're the same word, because they, just like we have look, looked, will looked, was looking, okay, looks, you can tell it's all that L-O-O-K word. And if you look at this word in Greek, it is pistis, pistivo. It's all the pist part is that faith. It's one and the same word. Okay, and the difference between faith and believe is one's a noun and one's a verb. Okay, so but the key is faith. You must establish that they genuinely believe. All right. And that means that you need to be a witness, not a salesman. Avoid false professions. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 7:21-23, in that day many will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So you want to endeavour to make sure that the person genuinely believes. Now, as far as what is belief, okay, I regularly, constantly use the illustration of the chair that you're sitting on right now. Okay? You have exercised faith in that chair. You walked in and you just sat down on it and plonked your weight on it unreservedly, because you believe that it can hold your weight. That's faith. Faith is a simple thing. You don't have to ask God for faith. You've already got it. Okay? So salvation is a gift, not faith. So people have got faith. The trouble is their faith is in evolution, or their faith is in the church, or their faith is what they're trusting. Okay? And so you want to try and establish that the person is genuinely believing in the Lord Jesus and him alone. So here is the three points that a person must accept in order to be saved. A is recognize. Recognize, that is, believe genuinely who Jesus is. That is who God is, because Jesus is the Creator, John 1:3. Jesus is sinless. Jesus is truly God. John 20:28 says that he is the Son of God. And to be someone's son is to be their equal in Bible terms. Because if you're the son, you inherit all that the Father has. You then eventually become the father. So to be someone's son is to be their equal. And that's why the Jews would take up stones to stone him when he said he was the Son of God. And he said, why do you stone me? For what good work do you stone me? This is in John chapter 10, around about verse 35. He said, for what good work do you stone me? And they say, well, not for your good works. We can't fault you on your good works. But for blasphemy we stone you, because you've made yourself equal with God. And what did he just said? He said, I'm the Son of God. And by saying I'm the Son of God was to make himself equal with the Father, because he is equal with the Father. Okay? And he is the loving Saviour. And you need to explain what a Saviour is. And the best way to explain what a Saviour is to talk about a lifesaver. Everyone in Australia knows what a lifesaver is. John 3:16. And this reveals the answer to their need. Now, what you're doing is you're providing the answer to their need before you explain to them what their need is. That seems back to front, that it's the right way round. You see, the next one is to repent. B is to repent. And this is about recognising who they are. Now, imagine if you talk to somebody about being a sinner, and you convince them that they're a sinner and they're destined for the lake of fire, and they say, oh man, what am I going to do about it? And you say, okay, well, let me explain to you who Jesus is. I need to explain to you who Jesus is. And you have to spend another hour trying to explain who Jesus is and make sure they understand who Jesus is before they can trust this person. You see why you don't start there? Why you start with Jesus. If they won't accept who Jesus is, well, there's you're wasting your time convincing them they're a sinner. Does that make sense? You've got to establish that the lifesaver is able to save. Then when they realise they're drowning and they know who he is, now they can cry out to him and say, save me. That's why you start with who Jesus is, because that is the key. If you learn nothing else from this series, as far as witnessing go, the answer is Jesus. But it is what I said last night to the kids. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus and to see who he was. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? That is the ultimate essential thing that every person must deal with. And I was asked if I had one passage that I could have, it would probably be Philippians chapter 2, believe it or not. That includes my life verse, which is Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, but in that verse, it also talks about the deity of Christ. But then the verse then also goes on and gives some practical Christian living as well. And so if I only had one chapter that I could use, Philippians 2 would be a pretty good chapter, because it deals with the deity of Christ, who he is, and salvation, and then it's got some preaching for the Christian life as well in it. But praise the Lord, by God's grace, we never have to make that decision, as to only have one chapter of the Bible. But anyway, he is the loving Saviour. And he's the answer to their needs. So then they need to repent. That means they recognize who they are. That is who they are. That is a sinner who can't go to heaven. Romans 3:23. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. This reveals their need. Okay? And they need to know that God knows if they really mean it. And they must be truly sorry for their sins and not want to do them again. Okay? They need to understand, I can't make myself good, but I want to be good. I want to be rid of this sin. Okay? So that's, yes, there's an arrow going down and stuff like that. Okay. Repentance is about, not about where you try and change your way.
Reformation.
Repentance is not reformation. Repentance is not saying, Lord, I'm going to stop sinning so that you can save me. Okay? Repentance is a change of mind. It's a turning around, but it's not turning around in behaviour. It's a turning around of attitude. It's saying, I now understand that I have offended God with my sin. My sin is going to take me to the lake of fire. Nothing that I can do can get rid of my sin. The only way that I can get rid of my sin and be able to go to heaven is not me, it's Jesus. I give up. I surrender. At the end of World War II, okay, at the end of the First World War, the nation of Japan and the other nations signed a document of unconditional surrender. And that's what we have to say to God. Okay? I surrender all efforts of my own to get me to heaven, and I trust in Jesus alone for my salvation. Amen? And that's what they have to understand. That's what repentance is. I can't save myself. I can't get the gift. The gift is being offered to me. And, okay, hold that for a second. Okay. Now, your Bible's getting good use here. Okay, I want to give you this gift. But can you take it at the moment? You can't receive it, can you? Because you're still holding on to your sin. But now you can receive it. That's salvation, okay? And the fact is, I did it wrong a little bit. When you spiritually couldn't do what you just did. You just got rid of your sin. You see, it's stuck to you. You can't pull it off that hand. It's glued on. But I have the power to remove it and to give you the gift. That's what salvation is. Okay? The idea is you give it to a kid, put super glue on their hands. No, just joking. Okay. But the idea is, and if possible, you load a kid up with a whole bunch of things like this. Okay? And then you try to offer them the gift. And then they go, they can't. Okay? But then you say, let me help. And you take them all off and then you give them the gift. Okay? And that's point three, receive. John 1:12. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Okay? It's receiving the gift. Not taking the gift, receiving the gift. The gift is given. And you just, by your free will, choose to say, I can't save myself. I'm stuck with this sins, Lord Jesus. Take them away. And I want to receive the gift that you offer to me. And he gives you the gift. No works involved. Faith. I believe that you can take my sins away and you can give me eternal life because you are God. All right? They need to understand that salvation is free. It is a gift, but it is not theirs until they receive it. And a good way to establish a born-again time is to talk to Jesus and ask him to take their sin away and come into their life and make them a Christian. Romans 10:10, for with the mouth confession is made, with the heart. Someone quote it properly for me, please. I've mucked it up. It's the heart first. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's a Hebrewism, okay, of two ways of saying the same thing. Okay? In other words, if you genuinely believe in your heart, you can't help but let it come out your lips. And you will want to tell everybody that you just went from hell to heaven. And if someone doesn't want to tell everybody, now, you know, there are shy people. Understand that, okay? But honestly, if someone is genuinely saved, they're going to want to tell somebody. And the best person to tell for a start is the Lord Jesus. And I'll encourage them to pray out loud and in your own words. Something, you know, you need to explain that you understand that you're a sinner and that only that you believe that Jesus is who he is and stuff. It's just in your own words, not some say after me thing. Okay? Very rarely do I ever have a say after me thing today. Potentially with someone who may have some sort of disorder. Okay? And now we're going to hit it again. As I said, we already hit this one. Learn the WWW method of questioning. And I've already done the practice with you. Okay? So what, why, who, how, and what did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13? He said, who do men say that I am? Notice it was a question. Who do men say that I am? And they'll say, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ. Right? Jesus used that technique. Right? Avoid yes-no possibilities. And Danny Olmsted was the guest speaker or the camp director or both at a camp in Canada once. And he gave a salvation invitation after a message. And this one boy shot his hand up and he took the boy aside. And he was going to say, do you want to trust Jesus? But he felt prompted of the Holy Spirit to say, so why did you put your hand up? And you know what the boy said? Because this camp was beside the ocean where there was a bay. And this boy said, are there pirates in the bay? He hadn't heard a word of the message. This kid was terrified because the older kids were telling him that there were pirates out in the bay And at night they would sneak in and look inside the cabins, and if there were any kids with red hair, "You've got red hair!" They'd take them away and make them slaves on their ships. This kid was terrified. And when he, at the end of the message, said, "If you've got any questions and you want to talk," his hand went up. And because he would have said yes to anything. But Danny, in his wisdom and prompted by the Holy Spirit, said, "So why did you put your hand up?" Well, he didn't cancel that kid for salvation at that moment anyway. All right. Five, encourage them to pray out loud. Okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 talks about not being ashamed, and with the mouth confession is made. Romans 1:16 says about not being ashamed. The thief on the cross spoke out loud. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that was good enough for salvation. He didn't go through some special prayer and say this, that and the other and declare Jesus' deity and confess all of his sins and pray in Jesus' name, amen, or any. Okay? He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he got saved. Okay? But he said it out loud. Six, encourage them to tell others. Acts chapter 4, verse 20, okay, talks about the, I've gone blank, Acts 4, 20, that's, that's it, thank you. We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It's Peter and John, I think, before the Sanhedrin. They said, "Look, we cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard." And that's what it should be for someone who's come to Christ. And I remember this little boy about 8 years of age in Adelaide had come along to a holiday kids club, and on about the second day, he trusted Christ as his saviour. And the next day, they're lining up and registering and at arrival, and I look down, and I saw him and I said, "G'day," and I can't remember what his name is. And I said, "G'day." And he said, "This is my friend," whatever his name was. "He's a Christian too." And I'm going, "Yeah, okay. I know, you just got saved yesterday." And I said, "Is that true? So how is he a Christian too?" And he said, "I told him how to get saved last night." He couldn't help but tell. He went home and found his buddy and told him about Jesus, and in his simple way he led him to Christ and brought him to Holiday Kids Club the next day. Okay, number seven, follow them up. Have I got blanks there?
Trust to whom
you can disciple them. Now, with my ministry, I can't follow kids up because I'm there for a few days and then I'm gone. Okay? And so I rarely counsel kids myself. I had the 10 sitting around, but when I go to a church, I let the folk know that their leaders need to be able to counsel for salvation. That should be part of the requirements to be a leader, and that when someone responds to the message, they go off with their leader, and their leader leads them to Christ, not me. Because there have been people who have said something like, Evangelist Glenn Weeks, for example. He says, if anyone says, "Oh, Brother Glenn Weeks, save me," okay, he basically said, "Well, I can tell they're not saved. They're one of my flock, not one of the Lord's, as it were." So that's why I don't counsel for salvation, and I get a local leader to do it because they're there and they can follow them up and disciple them, you see. That's what needs to be done. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That word "teach" is actually the word for "make disciples." Make disciples of all nations. Acts 20, verses 18 to 21, 1 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8, you've got those, haven't you? Okay. 2:7 and 8 says, like a nursing mother, like a nursing mother nurses a baby, that's how I was to you. And in the Soul Winner, Spurgeon talks about that there must be a changed life, or surely there has not been a work of God. Now, this is true, but sometimes it doesn't show straight away for various circumstances, okay? You need to be patient. A new graft or a seedling needs help and protection until it can bear fruit of its own, right? It doesn't necessarily happen immediately. 1 Thessalonians, as I said, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, a newborn baby isn't expected to walk and talk immediately, are they? Right? Now, we're not exactly the same. It is possible for us to walk and talk immediately as a Christian. It does come quickly for some. The growth should come quickly. But certainly the example in Acts 9 of Saul of Tarsus, it came immediately. Straight away, he was preaching in the synagogues. Okay? But don't write someone off just because they don't start preaching like a Saul of Tarsus. They may need some nurturing and patient loving and care. Okay? And again, that's because people are different and you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to people's needs. All right? And it would be fabulous if people had some neon thing across their forehead, not the mark of the beast, but a thing that said unsaved, and the moment they got saved, it changed colour to green and says saved. Boy, wouldn't that be handy? Okay, it would be. And if you believe in loss of salvation, it's going flish, flash, flish, flash, flish, flash, flish, flash, flish, flash, and then poof, it blows a fuse and then you're completely cooked. Okay, so you get the idea, I think, don't you? Thank you for your patience, and as you can tell, I could say a lot more. But you guys have been a hoot. And are there any questions before I hand it over to Brother Cam? All yours, bro. I am still here for the rest of the weekend, so by all means, you can. If you've got a question that you don't feel you want to ask in front of everybody, or you just want to have a sit down and have a chat, that's what I'm here for, okay? Yes?
Yep. And it's easier just to sort of remember the story and the main things I want to say and sort of just do it as I go instead of looking at my notes.
Yes.
Because otherwise I get lost trying to find where I'm
at. Yeah, and that's right. So my counsel is don't try to do it.
Yeah.
Do what you're doing, because that is how you should do it, because you'll lose the eye contact. And so long as you've got the gist of the story and you're keeping that eye contact with them, that is the best method. So don't feel bad that you're not able to do it. Feel good that you're doing it the way you are. Amen. All right. Over to you, bro.